Turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. And we're just going to go there briefly, and then we're going to go to the 23rd Psalm. And this is not going to be the body of what we're presenting today, but I want us just, it's a perfect lead-in to what we're going to speak about. Last week, we addressed the new year, and we have the last 2 weeks, and we talked about trusting God's plan and God's timing for 2026. And we said in this coming year, we have ideas going forward, what our plans are going to be, things that we want to do, places we want to go, goals that we're trying to meet. But even though some of them may have the best intentions, they don't necessarily fit what God's plan may be. And they may be great plans. They may be plans that God approves of, or appropriate plans that we would have as Christians. But it may not be what's in store for us in 2026. And we said there's a couple of ways God treats these things. So number one, He could bless your plans. And a lot of times we think, hey, our plans, I'm doing the right thing, the right way, the right reason. You know, God's going to bless this. He's going to approve. He may not. Okay? So trusting God's plan and His timing is just as much accepting that it may be a closed door and He may say no than it is that He says yes. Okay? So when it happens, are we willing to accept that and say, Lord, Your will be done in our lives? Okay? Now today, I want to look, and Tim will call this, God makes the roadway. So Isaiah 43:19. Okay, Isaiah 43:19. I'm just going to read one verse, and then we're going to go to the 23rd Psalms. I'll give you a second there. And our what we're looking at, our theme is that when God says no, and we go on to plan A, B, C, D, E, even Z, God is already ahead of us, making the roadway, making the path for us, and we don't even know what it is He's making the path for. God's doing the work, just like He did in our salvation. We just need to trust God and let Him do the work because He's already laying it out there, okay? So Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I'm going to do something new. Now, it will spring up. Will you not be aware of it? Here we go. I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Okay? Now, I understand we got to be careful about applying how the Old Testament to us today with certain things. But I believe, as believers, if we put our faith in God, we trust, He will make a roadway. What's that mean, roadway in the wilderness? In our toughest times, when we wonder, Lord, why is this happening to me? Lord, I don't have an answer. God says, I have already, it's not going to be in the future. I have already made the roadway. I'll not give you more than you can bear. The Bible states that clearly. So I'm making a roadway for you when you don't even know where it is you're going. Okay? Now, turn to the 23rd Psalms. 23rd Psalms. How many times has He already done that in your life? You know, I used to hear Lehman say it all the time. He said, if somebody would have told me I'd be up here singing, I'd have told them they were crazy. He used to say that all the time. If somebody would have told me about 7 years ago I'd be up here today, I'd have had help. I'd have called somebody to haul them off, probably. So, and I've told the story. Missy will tell somebody that I've known, some old friends, and he'll say, David's speaking at church now. And they'll go, do what? And I've texted people, and I've been in text conversations with old friends, and they'll say, well, how are you doing? I said, well, I'm speaking at church now on Sundays, and it'll be a text thread, and all of a sudden I'll get a call. And I had one friend specifically say, this deserves a phone call. We have to talk about this. So God leads in ways that we don't even know. We can't even foresee. So Psalms 23, 23rd Psalms, familiar. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Here we go. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So a lot of times we think, well, we need to try to live righteous lives, but we talked about we're covered in Christ's righteousness, and he leads us in these righteous paths. We just need to be followers. We got to understand God's the leader and we're the follower, not the other way around. So he will lead us not only as we make our journey, but like we said, he's making roadways for us even before. Okay? Now, turn to Galatians 2. And that way, when I get through here with this, you'll already be there. But as you turn, we read last week from Acts 16 how Paul was forbidden twice to go into Asia. But instead, he was given a vision to go to Macedonia, which is Europe. So Paul wants to go. His whole plan is, I'm going to Asia to spread the gospel. I'm going east. And the Holy Spirit twice said, no, you're not going that direction. Okay? Now, he was given a vision to go to Macedonia, which is in Europe, which is northern Greece. Okay? This not only began Paul's second missionary journey. It was the beginning of Christianity being the religion of Western civilization. It led, and you think about it, it led to our faith, our governments, our music, our art, our overall culture. Go to Europe now, as non-believing as they are, and you'll see the architecture everywhere that proclaims Christ. If you go back to sculptures, some of the most famous sculptures in the world, biblical figures. You go to Michelangelo's paintings. You go to music. Okay? You go to architecture there. It's based on Christian themes. And those individuals and the lineage from those individuals came to America. And we've done a lot of the same things. Okay? This wasn't Paul's initial plan to go to Asia. Acts 16, since last week, when I started studying, it intrigued me. Because I really hadn't paid attention that the Holy Spirit said, no, you're going to go west, not east. Okay? But then I got to thinking about it, and I got to studying about it. And before I got home, I'd already sent Benford a text, okay, about how that had just stayed with me. And now when I look at the scripture before and after he was denied and the vision, it's just been unloaded on me how all of this God's plan fit like a glove for Paul to go to Europe when that was never his intention. God set, and we're going to look at in the Bible how God set the roadway for Paul's second missionary journey when that wasn't even his plan. That it was set before he ever thought about it. It was God's plan. Okay? Now, besides the historical aspect, there are two themes that I have gotten out of this window of the Bible. Number one, God paves the way for plan B even when we think our plan A is the way to go. God paves the way for plan B even when we're still thinking plan A is our way to go. We think we're going to do something else totally, and God not only says, no, it's going to be this, he's already set the pathway. And number two, God uses all types of people in the body of Christ. There's not a model. There's not a typical Christian. There's no such thing. Okay? So Galatians 2 and Acts 15 are actually the same thing, but I like to go to Galatians 2 because I like to hear Paul's version of this. Now, so Galatians, you say, why would we go to Galatians 2? Acts 15 is going to lead the way to Acts 16. And I've taught from Galatians 2 several times. Now, I don't want to be the dead horse, but we know what happens. Paul has the believers that he's taught the grace doctrines, and he has those come in, Pharisaical type, legalistic Christians, that says, no, you got to, also, that's not enough. You got to do this, 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 this. You got to follow the law. You got to follow the commandments. You got to do all this, and you got circumcision, kosher laws, whole nine yards. Okay? So, Galatians 2, he writes about that. So, I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. Okay? Then after an interval of 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along also. It was because of a revelation that I went up. So Paul didn't go on his own. Okay? A revelation. The Holy Spirit said go. God said go. For a reason. Okay? And I submitted to them the gospel, which I preach among the Gentiles. Paul is clear, it's this gospel. Okay? You believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel given to Paul. Okay? But I did so in private to those who were of reputation for fear that somehow I might be running or I'd run in vain. But not even Titus, who was with me, though he was Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Yet it was a concern because of the false brothers sent secretly in, okay, or brought in secretly, who had sneaked in to spy on our freedom, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to enslave us. What slave? Going back to the law. Going back to following, you've got to do this, that you've got to keep score. You've got to be good enough. That's slavery because you can't do it. And I love what Paul says, our Christian liberty. Our liberty we have, our grace as Christians, that God trusts us enough that we don't have to do that. And he says, Christ's death and resurrection is enough, right? Verse 5. But we did not yield in subjection to them even for an hour. So Paul says, no, I'm not giving in to you at all. So that the truth of the gospel would remain with you. But from those who were of considerable repute, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no favoritism. I love how Paul says that. Paul says, you know, they're supposed to be big shots in church. Paul says, I don't care who they are. Okay, it won't make any difference to me. God shows no favoritism. The body of Christ, one is good as the other one. If you can really, if you'll read, I think Paul had a little bit of edge to him. I think he could be a, you know, at times. And I love how he probably had a little sense of humor, and I love how he interjects on this stuff. I mean, he might say, I don't care who they are. Okay? So, good old Paul. Well, those who were of repute contributed nothing to me. But on the contrary, seeing that I had been entrusted with the gospel. So, the gospel of the grace doctrines had been given to Paul and none of the rest of them. It was given to him. Okay? So we need as Christians, when other people say, no, this is how you're saved. This is how you're saved. In the Grace Age Church, okay, how you're saved is Paul's gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection. That's you believe. This other stuff that's thrown in, it's not important. Do you believe and put your saving faith in that? Okay? He'd been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised. Who, we're talking about the body of Christ now. Not only the Gentiles, but the body. Okay? The grace age. Just as Peter had been to the circumcised. For he who was at work for Peter in his apostleship to the circumcised was at work for me also unto the Gentiles. Now remember, we're setting the path here for Paul's second missionary journey. I do not believe what was given to Peter and what was given to Paul were the same. Peter said, repent, be baptized. And he also even believed in falling to legalism, falling to law, as James did, as the 12 did. Accept Jesus as Messiah. Okay? Accept Jesus as Messiah. Paul said there's nothing about the Messiahship of Christ in Paul's message. It says nothing about accepting him as Messiah. This was the first time you did not have to go through Israel to be in a relationship with God. Paul says none of that matters. You believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. The risen Lord, not the Lord that was in 3 years of ministry. You believe in the risen Jesus. Okay? Now, this doesn't mean Peter was wrong, by the way. Peter did exactly, and the 12 did exactly what the Lord told them to do. You stay in Jerusalem, and you preach Jesus is the Messiah. They need to accept the Messiah. But Paul says here, hey, the same blessing, the Lord is blessing me just like he's blessing him. We're doing exactly what God told us to do, but they're two separate ministries. Okay? That's very important. All right? Now, and recognizing the grace that's been given to me. Now, James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas. This is huge. This sets up Paul's second missionary journey. And Paul, not only that, Paul going to Europe, which we are the beneficiaries of. Okay? James, Cephas, and John, who are reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. Why? So that we may go to the Gentiles. And they too, the circumcised. We're going to the Gentiles, they're going to the circumcised. We're going to the Gentiles in Europe, and Paul doesn't even know it yet. This is not in Paul's plan. So when he says, I'm going to the Gentiles, he has no clue the direction. He thinks he's going somewhere else. But God, through this, through his revelation for Paul to go talk to them, okay, the roadway's already being set up, kid verse. The roadway's set up 2,000 years ago for you to become a Christian. For me to become Christian, for everybody in here, God's already setting a pathway that would directly impact us. Okay? They only asked to remember the poor, the very thing I was also eager to do. Now, from here, you can't have Acts 16 with Acts 15, and you can't have the rest of Acts 15. So what happens next? God begins putting people in Paul's life. Okay? Paul has been given the approval by the 12 to go with his gospel of grace into the Gentile world. This begins the second missionary journey and the knowledge of Jesus Christ in Europe and then on into the Western Hemisphere. Okay? Didn't start when Christopher Columbus thought he was in India. I hate to tell you. All right. At the conclusion of the Jerusalem Council, which James, who's running the church there in Jerusalem, he gives his stamp of approval. They chose men to go with Paul to the churches of Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. These are all straight north of Israel. So you've got Israel and you've got the Mediterranean. They're going straight up the coast. Okay? That's where Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia is. You have Israel, you have Lebanon for a stretch, you have Syria. Probably less than 100 miles. You could probably drive from Jerusalem to those places in less than 2 hours, I would think. Okay? Now, Paul obviously doesn't know where he's going yet, but he knows he starts close by. Now, go to Acts, stay in Acts 15, go to verses 22 and 23. 22 and 23. Who is chosen and what ends up happening is very, very important. Okay? It just wasn't like, well, whoever wants to go, raise your hand. Or you look good, like you're not working right now. You don't have to be at work tomorrow. You go with him. It's none of that. Okay? So we're in Acts 15, and we're going to stay in Acts 15 and 16 the rest of the way. Forever how long this goes. Acts 15, verses 22 and 23. Okay? Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church. Now, they come to an agreement. All right, so here's the next thing. To choose men from among them to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. So the original plan is Paul and Barnabas. Okay? Judas, who was called Barsabbas, and let me say this, if my name was Judas, Barsabbas is not your average everyday name, I would want to be called Barsabbas too. Not the same Judas. Not the same one, the infamous one who hung himself, who betrayed Christ. Different one. Barsabbas and Silas, leading men among the brothers. So these were teachers. They were individuals who could share with Paul and do it well and would strengthen his journey, okay? Now, go on down to Acts 15, go down to verses 36 through 41. 36 through 41, stay in the same chapter. So, it's going to be a monkey wrench thrown in here, okay? After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's return and visit the brothers and sisters in every city." So everywhere they went in the first missionary journey, Paul said, "Let's return." Okay? In which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. So Paul says, the churches we've been to, and we mentioned the three, okay, we're going to go back. And we're just going to see how things are going. We're going to try to encourage them. We're going to try to help them in any way we can. Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also. This is the same Mark of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay? But Paul was of the opinion that they should not take along with them this man who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Okay? Mark was in the first missionary journey. We're going to get to this later, here in just a few minutes. And he said, "Nah, this is not for me. It's too tough. I'm leaving." And he didn't even tell him. He just left. He deserted. They wake up one morning, he's not there. He's gone. All right? Paul said, "Can't trust him. Don't want him. He can't go with me on this trip." Verse 39. "Now it turned into such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him." They were cousins. Okay? "And sailed away to Cyprus." So here we go. We've not even got started yet, Cleo. This thing's already falling apart. I mean, that's what we'd say. What would we say if we said, "All right, Jim Patsy's going to start a church." And Jim said, and there was somebody else with him. And Jim said, "Nah, I don't want him. I can't trust him." And they get into it, and two go this way and two go that way. And I'm like, they've not even got the doors unlocked yet. And they've already split up. They're already fighting. This is doomed for failure before it already begins. That's what the natural man would say. That's probably what I would have said. But no. God is laying the groundwork. They split for a reason that was God's work. Okay? It's going to be very important that Silas is with Paul. Look at verse 40. "But Paul chose Silas and left after being entrusted by the brothers to the grace of the Lord." It was Silas for a reason, and you're going to see why. There's no other person that could have went with Paul and it worked through the first part of the journey besides Silas. Okay? And he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So, they're still Syria. They've gone north. They've not left. They're not over 100 miles from Jerusalem. Still local, basically. Now, Like we said, God is putting people in Paul's lives. Now I want to look at those four. All right? First, there was Barnabas. Okay? Barnabas was a Levite from Cyprus. His name appears 23 times in Acts and 5 times in Paul's writings. It was believed he had been a teacher of the law in the synagogue in Cyprus, but he had believed at Pentecost. So Acts 2, when the thousands of men are saved, the Holy Spirit falls and thousands are converted. They had come in from all parts of the world, Jewish individuals from all parts of the world, back to Jerusalem. He was one in that group that believed at Pentecost. Okay? I don't know that he was wealthy, but he had means. In Acts 4:37, he sold his land and brought the money and gave it to the apostles. So Cyprus was a coastal area, probably some type of seaside land worth a lot. He sold it, and as it was the custom at that time, whatever you had, you came and gave it to the apostles, laid it at their feet, gave them everything you had. He did that in Acts 4. Sold the land, took all the money, laid it at John and Peter's feet. Okay? He brought Paul to Antioch in chapter 11. All right? So the first missionary journey there, even before we get here, he brought Paul to Antioch. So that was one of Paul's great churches. So he was responsible for that. He was called an encourager. So you've got an individual here that's well-to-do. He's very positive. He's called the encourager. He's really good at encouraging Christians. Okay? So that's one kind of individual that God's used. The other one is called Judas. There's Judas called Barsabbas. Okay? He's one of the two men recommended to take Judas Iscariot's place among the 12 after he betrayed Jesus. So remember, he died. There was only 11 apostles. So they go back to the first of Acts. They got to have a 12th apostle, right? So they cast lots. It was between him and Matthias. They chose Matthias. But that was not a knock on Barsabbas. It could have been him just as easily. But he was a strong believer, and he was with Christ during his earthly ministry, and he was thought to believe one of the 70 in the upper room. Okay? So he had experience with Jesus. Okay? So we've got an experienced believer. Silas. Silas was a leading Jewish prophet missionary originally in the Jewish church. He co-signed letters with Paul, such as 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. He's believed to be the scribe who wrote 1st Peter. He replaced Barnabas in the second missionary journey, which I said, which is no mistake. He went into Europe. Here's the biggie. I remember why I said he's the only one that could work. He went into Europe with Roman citizenship, just as Paul. This is going to be huge. Okay? He was a Roman citizen. Paul uses this as to every advantage he can. And they're going to come into situations here that if he has a non-Roman citizen with him, this thing's going to go into tank. There's no way they can move forward. That's key. So of all the individuals there, there was one Roman citizen, Silas. That was it. And it just so happens that right before they get ready to go, they split. The Jerusalem church could have chosen anybody to go with Paul except Mark. They could have chosen anybody. They had probably hundreds to pick from. They chose Mark and Silas, and Paul says, I'm not going with Mark. Can't trust him. I'm not going. So God's pathway that he already knew before Paul knew what was going on, he said, I'm putting Silas with you. You'll need Silas when you go where you're going. Okay? He was an important messenger from the Jerusalem Council, the churches in Asia Minor and Greece. He was with Paul in the Philippian jail. And finally, Mark. Okay? His mother was Mary, who owned a large house in Jerusalem. that housed the early Christians. You'll see that the Christians met there and stayed there a lot. He was a companion of Peter, and it's believed that that he's written the book of Mark based on Peter's accounts. He left Paul during the first missionary journey in Pamphylia. If you know and know where he left Paul, it's Acts 13:13. That's where he left Paul, Acts 13:13. Okay, here's what it says. Now, Paul and his companions put out to sea from Paphos and from Perga and from Pamphylia, but John left them and returned to Jerusalem. So he leaves in Acts 13. Paul didn't want him on the second journey. Instead, Mark went with Barnabas to his cousin. Mark is known for getting second chances. So we've got those who are strong Christians. We've got those who are well-to-do. We have those who are establishing the law. And then we've got Mark, who Paul says, no, you're finished. I want nothing to do with you. But God said no. Why? Because even when somebody like Paul may be through and said you're done, God is a God of second, third, fourth, thousand, million chances. God never gives up on us. Thank God for second chances. I can say that in my life. Thank God for multiple chances. Okay? So Mark goes from an outcast with Paul in Acts 15 to this. Keep your finger where you got it. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You may say, man, I've done this, I've done that. God can't use me. I can't even be a good Christian. I've got this in my life. I keep doing this and that. I keep messing up. Well, that's the way you see yourself. That's not the way God sees you. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 4, 9 through 11. Now, this is decades later. Paul's getting ready to be martyred, I should say, for the cause of Christ. So he's down, 2 Timothy was the last thing he wrote. So these are some of Paul's last words. So in verses 9 through 11, Paul's talking to Timothy. He said, make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Sad words. Demas left him. He's basically said, I've got nobody. Those who were with me, Demas left. Okay? Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. They're at other places. Okay? Only Luke is with me. Okay? Luke was the writer, wrote Acts. Look what he says. Take along Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. Decades later, Paul, he goes from, I don't want you, to you are useful in the service for Christ. That's important what you're useful for. You can be useful for some wrong things. He was useful to Paul to spread the gospel. This was the same guy in Acts 15 who was done. Okay? Thank God for second chances. Thank God he doesn't give up on us. Thank God that you can become what God wants you to become, even though there's bumps in the road, there's potholes in the road, or sometimes the bridge is out. God can use you, okay? He uses all kinds of people in the body of Christ. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Not only is he important to Paul, he's important to Peter. Remember what we said about Peter. What's Peter say about him? Okay? The same guy who left. There was a reason Paul didn't trust him. He just packed his bag and got out and said, I don't want any part of it. Left. Ken, you was talking about the Army, man. When that first bullet was fired, he was like, well, I don't know about this. Wasn't a bed of roses, right? Okay. 1 Peter 5:13. 1 Peter 5:13. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends your greetings, and so does my son Mark. Now, this wasn't his physical son, this is his spiritual son. Peter thought of Mark so close to him and so faithful to him that he called him his son, his spiritual son. Same guy who didn't want any part of it. So God gives you chance after chance after chance. And the important thing to remember in 2026 is not fold up your tent and fold up your suitcase like James Brown and walk off the stage. Okay? Don't do that. Stay in the fight. Confess it. If you do something, confess it. Tell the Lord, I'm sorry. Confess it. God's not done. He's still got a place for you. Just bow your back. Keep going. God can use you. God will use you. Okay? He's not going to give up. I might give up on you. Okay? You may give up on people. You may give up on me. God won't give up. No matter what, God won't give up. Now, turn to chapter 16. Chapter 16 of Acts, I'm sorry. Not of 1 Peter. Acts chapter 16. So Acts 15 goes to Acts 16. Dave, if you find 1 Peter 16, let me know.
Right after the book of Hezekiah.
Yeah. So Acts 16. Now, Paul and Silas get a little further from home. Okay? So all this in Acts 15 leads to Acts 16. So now, they're going to go to Derbe and Lystra. Now, remember what we said. They'd gone up the Mediterranean coast. They'd gone north probably about 100 miles. Now, they're probably going to go about another 100 miles or so. Maybe a little bit further. Where the Mediterranean stops, they're going to turn the corner and go a little northwest. Okay? So they're turning the corner. All right? Acts 16, 1 through 2. Now, Paul also came to Derbe and Lystra. And a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers and sisters who were in Lystra and Iconium. Now, here's another individual that God puts into Paul's life. Okay? We've spoken about Timothy. Okay, a couple months ago. Remember, Timothy was the one who was sickly all the time. He was bashful. He was nervous. Very nervous individual. Very insecure individual. Did not want to approach people. Did not have confidence in himself. Okay? The last person probably in the world that you would want to put into this type of vocation. Everywhere Paul goes, he's causing a riot. Okay? And Paul's not exactly on these trips staying at the Four Seasons and eating at Ruth Chris. Okay? He talks about, I've been starved, I've been beaten, I've been naked out in the cold, I've had exposure, I've been thirsty, I've been where I've had nothing. And here you've got this sickly, nervous, insecure young man with him. The last one, but Timothy was just invaluable to Paul. Doesn't make sense, but it's not supposed to. God's showing I can use any kind of individual in my service. I can use you, no matter who you are, no matter what you think your deficits are. Moses said, I can't talk. I stutter. I can't get a word out. What'd God say? Let me do the talking. I'll do it, Moses. We need to put our faith in God and He'll use us, no matter what our flaws are. Okay? So, go on down now in Acts 16, verses 6 through 10. Okay? And I'll wind up here soon, and then we'll go on into next week. Now, they're going to go on into Turkey. All right? So, they're on top of the Mediterranean now. They've worked their way west. They're on top of the Mediterranean. Turkey, and we know today, is still very prominent in affairs. It's in NATO. It's considered European, but it's also a Muslim country, and it's considered Mideast and therefore considered Asian. Turkey's considered Asian and European, but it's got a strong Islamic base. Okay? Now, so he passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region. So he's in Turkey. And this is what we read last week. And being forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, first time, they wanted to go to Asia. Holy Spirit says no. And they came to Mysia and were trying to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Twice. So they are circling. They go to Europe and they're circling and they take an eastern turn. Okay? And as they go east, God says, no, you stop right where you're at. You're not going any further east. If it would have been the United States, they would have circled out by Utah and Nevada and went north. And here they go up through North Dakota and Minnesota, and they're going that direction. And God says, stop. Okay? You're not going any further. Okay? And passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. Now they're west. Okay? And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man in Macedonia was standing and pleading with them. Now Macedonia is Greece. And saying, go over to Macedonia and help us. When he had seen the vision, we immediately sought to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So it was God's plan that they go to Macedonia. That's where God wanted them. And it's just not because he liked the Macedonian people. All right? So they were in, at that time, the far northwest part of Turkey. They could have crossed a narrow strait at that time of the Black Sea and gone into Bulgaria, which is Eastern Europe. So that's where they're at. Instead, they were working their way back east toward Bithynia. And God stopped them. Macedonia is in northern Greece. Now, they're going to Europe. One more country over west, and they're in Italy. Okay? So you go Italy, France, Spain, and you're at the coast. You're at the Atlantic Ocean. And the countries are not nearly as big as the United States. They're basically like states. So they're just... He gets over there in Rome. He's just a couple hundred miles from Atlantic Ocean. Right? Look at verses 11 through 13 now. 11 through 13. So after setting sail from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace and on to the following day to Neapolis. And from there to Philippi, which is a leading city. And we know about Philippi, the Philippian jailer, the book of Philippians, very important. And from there, Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia, a what? Roman colony. Was it a mistake that God said, no, Silas is the one that's going to go with you? Not at all. The only Roman citizen in the bunch, and he sends him to a Roman colony. Paul was a Roman citizen. God knew exactly what he was doing. The path had already been set. If Paul goes in there and he goes to that Philippian jail and he's got somebody with him that's not a Roman citizen, they'd never get out. They'd never get out there alive. Even though The earthquake came, okay? And we know that because of that, the jailer was saved, and we're going to talk about that next week. They went back to jail. They just didn't escape. They went back so he wouldn't save his life. if he would have had a non-Roman citizen with him, they'd have executed him right there on the spot. They'd have never made it out. There, because you were a Roman citizen, you had all the perks that went with it. And you see Paul constantly trying to use that to his advantage. So why? So he can be free and further the gospel. It was important that he had a Roman citizen with him. Okay? Now, and it says what? A Roman colony. And we were spending some days in this city. And on the Sabbath day, they went down outside the gate to a riverside where we were thinking that there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. That's where we're going to start next week. That's where Paul's second missionary journey starts. This is perfect timing where we can stop where we're at. You're going to see the first person in Europe, the first believer in Europe who was saved. You're going to see the Philippian jailer. You're going to see that first person who was saved in Europe, and the Philippian jailer were as opposite as you can get. You're going to see how God moves, and you're going to see that it takes all kinds in the body of Christ. Whatever kind you think you are, you're perfect in God's eyes for what he needs to be done. Like I said, there's no model Christian. You're perfect in God's eyes for what needs to be done. If you've been washed in the blood, he sees the blood, Cleo. So I want you to look here and see. None of this is by accident. We may not think much. We may pass over these verses and not think much about them because some of them may not just be. It may not be John 3:16, and we look over it. But I want you to see God's hand in all this. Everything in the Bible is for a reason, and God has ordained it, and God has blessed it. It's God's word, and it's there for a reason. I want you to see how God lays the path. Paul had no clue where he was going, who was going to be with him, or at first, even if he would be going. He's just trying to get some, hash out some problems, right? And it turns in to the gospel going to the Western Hemisphere. Just because he was trying to right some wrongs, he thought. God works in mysterious ways, in amazing ways. So 2026, you may not know which way you're going. You just got to trust God. And when your plan changes, you've got to say, okay, Lord, I'm trusting your will. Whatever situation I'm in, I'm trusting you, God. Because it's not a deal where God puts you in a situation, then all of a sudden it's fly by the seat of your pants here. God's already made the way. Wherever you're at, God's already made the way going forward. Do you trust man? Do you trust you? Or do you trust God? The Bible says, Paul says, I put no confidence in the flesh. And I certainly don't put any in mind. You have to trust God. Do that in 2026, and he will ordain your ways. He'll bless your ways, and he'll already put that roadway out in front of you. So that's where we'll start next week, is in Acts 16, right there at verse 13, and we'll move forward. The rest of that chapter, Lydia, and then their time in the Roman jail. Okay? Martha Jo, if you'll come and play. Just save yourself here as she plays. God, I'm going to trust you no matter what. No matter what situation I'm in, I trust you because I know that you have already laid the pathway out front of me. What happens to me in 2026 is not going to be a surprise to God. Nothing catches him off guard. Not a thing.